Good morning. I'd like to call to order this July the 27th, 2023 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please silence them at this time. And if you will, stand and join me with for the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for the time to come together today to do the business of this city. Lord, thank you for the privilege of living here. And Lord, we just ask that you give us wisdom today to help us make right decisions and to hear what the people have to say. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings on us, on this city. And I pray that you'd strengthen and bless every marriage and family in Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, first we had the approval of the minutes for the June 22nd, 2023 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and minutes are approved. Next, we hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you. Is there a motion for that?
I so move.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, I believe, by Mr. Condon. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you are here today, if you're going to give testimony or speak before this board, if you will, please stand and repeat after me and raise your right hand. I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right. First, we're going to hear 23-003267. Petition for lot width variances for 1506 LeGrand Street.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Edward Morrow, representing MPC staff. So the present request is for a variance to lot width at one piece of property at 1506 LeGrand Street. And the applicant is requesting to create two lots having 36 feet of width, fronting on LeGrand Street. In the TR2 zoning district, the traditional residential, 2 zoning district, a minimum lot width of 40 feet is required. In its evaluation, staff found that the total area of the lot is 7,200 square feet, and it's currently unimproved. In its present condition, the subject parcel has the ability to be developed as either a single-family home or a two-family home in the over-under configuration. Those are things that the applicant has the ability to do currently without a variance, as it meets the requirements for both lot area and lot width. Savannah's zoning ordinance provides a few criterion for the evaluation of a variance request. So I'm going to scroll through. The first one being general consistency. The ordinance seeks that any variances would be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan, and it wouldn't be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public. MPC staff found that the requested variance would not be inconsistent with the existing development pattern in the area. There are many parcels that are non-conforming, and they were likely developed prior to the adoption of Savannah's current zoning ordinance. In determining any special conditions, MPC staff found that the subject property is not unique among properties within the TR2 zoning district specifically. Further, under special conditions, there are no conditions or circumstances that warrant the grant of a variance. Finally, under special conditions, staff found that the requested variance are likely purely financial in nature. A two-family home can currently be built on the property, and two-family homes would not be permissible on the resulting lots if the grant, if the variances were granted, that is without further relief granted by this board. In determining if the literal interpretation would deny the applicant of any rights commonly enjoyed by other property owners within this zoning district, staff found that literal interpretation would not deprive the applicant. The minimum variance, if granted, there actually is no variance required. It's currently a legal buildable lot without the requested variances. And finally, special privilege not granted. If the variances were granted, it would not confer on the applicant special privileges that are denied by the ordinance to other properties. Finding that there was no circumstance warranting grant of a variance, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variances. That concludes staff review.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? All right, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and sign in?
Just learned something. I didn't know it was touchscreen. Robert McCorkle from law firm McCorkle Johnson McCoy here on behalf of the petitioner. Petitioner is DH1 Holdings, David Hay. They've renovated and restored numerous houses all over the city. Also built numerous infill houses, 36th and 67th, which I'll show you some pictures of later, Page Street, Mississippi Ave, different roads around different areas of the city. This particular lot is 72 feet wide and 100 feet deep for a total of 7,200 square feet of lot area. The minimum lot area in this TR2 district is 3,000 feet, so we're about 2.5 times the size of the minimum lot area as it currently sits. This is the subdivision plat, which was filed by my client, and the plat's been approved subject to this variance to allow for a 4-foot lot variance or lot width variance on each of the lots. We are not requesting a lot area variance today. Our lot area for each of these lots will still be 3,600 square feet, which is 20% larger than what the minimum is required. It's also larger than almost every other lot around us. But I'll show you that even as subdivided, but I'll show you that as I go forward here. I know I sound like a broken record when I'm up here talking to y'all and about these lot variances, because it oftentimes is a very similar presentation on very similar lots and very similar, you know, areas of the city. But I say every time I'm here, and I'll say it again with this property, that the context matters, as opposed to just looking at TR2 globally or looking at TR2 and the standards that exist in it globally, because TR2 exists in lots of areas of the city, and those areas are different, and the history of those areas are different, and what surrounds the particular lot at issue may be different. This is a map that shows the surrounding area that kind of runs from Anderson to 33rd, from Atlantic over to the railroad track that immediately surrounds this piece of property. Our property is along the black circle here, obviously. And then all of these orange identified lots are all lots that are less than 40 feet in width. All of these are substandard lots by the width requirements of TR2 in the surrounding area. Almost all of them are also below the lot area requirement for TR2 for this area, less than 3,000 square feet. I've also highlighted a couple of lots here in yellow, just to show that these lots, though they meet the technical width requirement, also are less than the required lot area. I've identified a couple of the larger lots around here just to show these are not residential lots. This is a church. We have another church here on the corner, and this is the Barn Center for Union Mission here, which is a supportive residence home for single women with disabilities. And then this is the school back here, just to orient you as to where we are. In this entire area, the original historic lot widths were 24 or 25 feet, depends on which block you were on. Oftentimes we're here on 30-foot lots, but these were all 24 and 25, even smaller. You can see it here running down Reynolds. The original lot structure here still exists, and the houses are still built within this width, 25 feet apiece. You can see on our block, The lots here at the end are 24 feet, which was actually the width of all the historic lots on our block. Our lot, as you can see, is identified as lot 141, 142, and 143, which is also how it's still titled. All of those lots were originally 24 feet, the three of them combined for our total of 72 feet. As mentioned, the vast majority of these lots are all under 40 feet, and the vast majority of them do not meet the lot area requirement. Most of the houses in this area are narrow single-family houses. There's actually not a lot of duplexes. There's not a lot of multifamily unless you go all the way up to Anderson. It's almost all single-family residences. I'm going to take you on a little tour of our block just to give you the context, which, again, I think is always the most important part of this. This is starting to the left of our lot, moving to the right. So there's an empty lot on the corner for us here. This is LeGrand and 31st. I'm going to skip our lot and come back. So this is the two houses to the right of us. This one here on the left is on a 36-foot lot. This one here to the right is on a 24-foot lot, two single-family residences. These are our immediate next-door neighbors. The end lot is a 24-foot lot. It's actually owned by a church. There's a 24-foot vacant lot at the end of our block. So we only have actually two on our block face, only two existing houses, and then we've got a few empty blocks. This is across the street, again, working up from 31st. So, again, you're seeing narrow single-family residences that are in very close proximity to each other. This is directly across the street from us. This is a lot that's 40 feet by 90 feet, which would be the same lot area as us. This is also directly across the street from us. Further down as you work your way towards 32nd, again, all close to the street, narrow single-family residences, and then there's actually a church on the corner diagonally across the street from us. And so, and these are just some more examples that I took riding around the immediate block surrounding us. All the same function, all single family residences, all built on narrow lots with narrow side setbacks. The side setback in TR2 is actually 3 feet for single family residences. So all of these you'll see are close together. Some of them are two stories, some of them are one stories. And that's the neighborhood. I showed this picture just to show there is some renovation going on in the area. There are some of these small homes are being renovated. There are some new infill ones also being constructed. And this is one that's a block or so away that's being worked on right now. I want to go back for a second to the overall map just to talk about what we believe. I guess we disagree with staff that there's no special condition or peculiar circumstance that exists here. The circumstance that exists primarily is in the neighborhood surrounding us, but also even on our lot. We are, as you see on this picture, the largest residential lot in the entire area. There is not a single one bigger than us. We are both the widest lot in the entire area, and we have the biggest lot area of any lot in the entire area. Our lot is a bit of an outlier, and I believe that that is a special circumstance that applies to this particular lot. We do believe that literal enforcement of the ordinance as it exists to require us to build a single family residence on a 72-foot lot on this block and in this location would deny us or deprive us of rights that other owners have. I mean, almost every other property around us has narrow single family residences, which is what we intend to build. Staff suggests in the staff report, if you saw that we build a duplex, an over-under duplex on the property. It's not incorrect that we could build an over-under duplex on the property. We could build a 63-foot wide over-under duplex on the property that's 36 feet tall. My feeling about it, though, is that is actually detrimental to the area more so than if we build two single-family residences. Again, we're surrounded by single family. We want this to be single family. We want the size to be consistent with the lots around us. So in order not to be injurious to the neighborhood, which I think staff admits that our plan is not, and then the first criteria specifically states that this would not be injurious to the neighborhood, to allow us to build two 36-foot wide lots would make us consistent with our block face. You'll see here the lot immediately adjacent to us is 36 feet by 100 feet, which is exactly what we're asking to do. We're not asking to go back to the original 24-foot lots and try to squeeze three houses in here, even though you could argue that that would be consistent with what's in the neighborhood as well. That's not what we're arguing to do. We're not trying to maximize this from a financial standpoint, because that would probably be that. But we do think it's realistic here, so that our block face would be a 24-foot, 24-foot, 36-foot, and two more 36-foots. It's completely consistent. And just to finish up, I'm going to show you two pictures we had of, you know, recent projects by our client. This is one, I believe that's under contract right now. This is another one. I'm not going to flip this over because y'all can see it, but I just show them to show that they have experience doing infill. They have experience restoring properties on lots of this size. And due to the circumstances that surround this lot and the fact that it is the single largest residential lot in the entire area, we would ask for your support for a variance so that we can build two 36-foot single-family residences. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkler. Any questions for the applicant? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm very familiar with this neighborhood. We do a lot of work in that area. The and I think that LeGrand is one of those streets that has not felt the love, you know,
absolutely,
in that area. The my only concern is that it is a little bit of a tight street. Off-street parking will be part of this.
I don't, there's parking requirements in the ordinance. I haven't seen, kind of waiting on this is exactly what the model of the house is going to be. So I'm not sure. The lot is 100 feet deep. So they do have some area to work with. And even at 36 feet wide,
there's enough room for a driveway.
They've got some area. There's enough room for a driveway. And there's actually a lane from the city that runs up to the back of the property as well. So I believe there is going to be off-street parking. Yes.
I think that would be important.
Sure.
Okay. All right. That was all. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not here, so you got to ask about
life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, if you use the raise your hand feature, we'll recognize you and allow you time to speak. Okay. Well, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to
Excuse me, sir. Someone just raised their hand.
Oh, okay. Michelle, are you online? If you will, unmute Hello. Yourself so we can hear you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I wanted to inquire about some of the adjacent properties on 31st, in particularly 645, 649, and 655. I did hear the gentleman's statements regarding two single family homes possibly occupying the space that we're discussing. And I just wanted to be reassured that none of those three addresses that I just previously mentioned would be affected. Because this is a reduction and not, this is a reduction in the lot space versus an extension, correct?
Yeah, this has to do with the width.
Okay.
Reduction in required width.
Okay. So those three properties would not be directly impacted?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes. All right, thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Anyone else online? Mr. McCorkle, would you like to respond to public comment? Are you okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
Please. As I was saying to Mr. McCorkle, I'm very familiar with this area, and there are a number of these large lots that are basically dump sites now. Lots of people have thrown debris and such there, and I think as we continue to you know, work on these little houses in the neighborhoods and so on, these lots do need to be filled, and it would be somewhat silly to have a gigantic duplex in the middle of a neighborhood of bungalows. So I think it's a reasonable request to do the subdivision.
Mr. Turner, do you like to say anything?
Just looking at this neighborhood, roughly how many duplexes actually exist right now in that neighborhood?
Actually, that's something I'd have to look into. Our evaluation typically looks at the confines or the constraints established by the ordinance. And so our position typically is to defend the ordinance and its requirements. In looking at those parameters, construction of a duplex is permissible. Construction of a single family home is permissible. So again, it's consistent, but to actually count the number of duplexes was not within the scope of the evaluation.
Thank you.
Mrs. Jones, would you like to say anything?
No, I don't have that.
If there's no other comments, would someone like to make a motion?
A motion that we grant petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the request of the petitioner for the variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 537 East Anderson Lane, 23-003285. This is for a rear setback variance.
All right, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the present request is the petitioner L. Robert Isaacson is requesting a 10-foot rear yard setback variance from the 20-foot rear yard setback requirement that is established by the zoning ordinance for the subject parcels. The present request was presented for ZBA review back in February of 2021, and at that time, this board granted approval of this request. However, in accordance with Section 3.21.11 of the zoning ordinance, a building permit was not requested within 12 months, and the validity of this variance is now expired. So that has brought the petitioner back in order to request, in essence, the same variance. The subject parcels are located on the south side of East Anderson Lane between Price Street and East Broad Street in the Midtown neighborhood. They are currently zoned or governed by the TN2 traditional neighborhood 2 zoning district standards, and it's within the streetcar historic district. So these are historic properties, even though there were no contributing structures that were found on the subject block. The subject properties were created from a recombination of 9 non-conforming lots in October of 2020. So the applicant combined the lots and then came with a development proposal in February of 2021 with the request to establish this rear setback variance. The creation of the new buildable lots on public lanes are not typically permitted. However, because there are habitable structures that are dependent on this lane, we are entertaining the present request. And several of the residences, there are residences on either side. Again, this lane is unimproved, however. It's, in essence, a dirt path. All of the lots that were created as a result of the subdivision are conforming with regard to all the requirements of the TN2 zoning district. However, their shallow lot depth is what is being challenged today, as it does limit the petitioner's development options on the property. Each of the proposed parcels is of a sufficient area to construct duplex homes, either over, under, or side by side. So again, I'm mentioning this because there are implications with regard to lot area that Mr. McCorkle just mentioned. There are certain lot area requirements in order to have a much larger structure. And also the lot coverage also kind of points to this requirement for off-street parking. So, the lots that are proposed for development meet all of those requirements for duplexes. Section 9.3.4 requires that each dwelling unit be provided one off-street parking space. So in essence, each one of these three parcels, it's assumed that the petitioner would construct duplexes. Each one would need to have two off-street parking spaces by current zoning ordinance standards. Per Article 3, Section 3.21, the zoning ordinance establishes several criteria for evaluation of a variance request. The first one, again, being general consistency. The variance should be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan and shall not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental. The ordinance does establish these development standards for the purpose of creating pattern development and for fostering adequate spacing between houses for safety and privacy. The variance would not be inconsistent with the existing development pattern. Several of the residences fronting on the lane, they have very short setbacks. As many of these houses, some even adjoining this parcel, were constructed as early as 1900, just to give you some context. These are very old homes. To the extent that on-street parking on unimproved Anderson Lane could be prevented, the variances are unlikely to have serious effect, but This is an unimproved lane. It is very narrow. And again, were there not habitable structures that were already on it, we would not be having this discussion. So it's a unique circumstance in that regard. There is a special condition, the second criteria, special conditions. There is a special condition in that these parcels are unique because of their shallow lot depth. The composure and layout of their dimensions do deem them peculiar and not like the majority of properties within the TN2 zoning district. The property owner actually made the lots more conforming by combining the 9 substandard lots into 3 lots, and the lot depth did not change as a result of the recombination. But it's worth noting that, again, the petitioner did purchase these lots fully aware of their shallow depth. As he recombined them, he did make them more conforming in the context of the ordinance, but the lots were the same depth at the time of purchase. The special condition or circumstance is not purely financial. Staff found that the request is for the purpose of allowing the petitioner to use the land more profitably. The subject parcels are shallow but buildable, as they would have a building envelope that would permit a home of a depth that is approximately 20 feet. Somewhere in the range of 20 feet, and they have not lost all potential use in their present state without the grant of the requested variance. Literal interpretation of the provisions of this ordinance would not deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by other properties in the immediate vicinity, again, making reference to some of those homes that are close by that were constructed as early as 1900, duplexes, for even adjoining properties. There are some where a single residence within that duplex is approximately 600 square feet. So 1,200 or so square feet between the two residences. The proposed dwellings that are likely to be built by the applicant would roughly double the size of a dwelling, just to give you some context. In staff's opinion, the subject parcels are legal, buildable lots without the requested variances. Finally, special privilege not granted. The variances, if granted, would not confer on the applicant special privileges that are denied by this ordinance to other properties in the same zoning districts. Again, the parcels are currently legal and buildable without the requested variances, and staff recommends denial as there is the potential for the owner to develop dwellings on the parcels as they currently exist. That concludes staff review.
Thank you. Are there questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Can you go over a little bit more about the duplex nature of the request? These are for duplexes.
So looking at the previous submissions, the assumption is that the applicant is going to pursue building duplexes. Again, there are several duplexes that are adjoining this. However, there were not building plans that were submitted as a part of this particular request. But, of course, I did make reference to the previously submitted documents, which head in that direction. So thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Great. Thank you. Would petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record and sign in?
I'll leave that there. I'm sorry. I'm leaving on the screen aerial view of the subject properties. I can come back and explain if anyone.
Thank you. My name is Bob Isaacson. I'm the owner of the lots. We bought these lots back in 2001, so I've owned them for about 22 years, I guess. It's a very wide lot, and it's a very shallow lot, and it's very difficult to build on them with the 20-foot rear setback. So we came here in February 2021 and asked for a setback variance in the rear, and it was approved then by the by the board, and we relied on that. And in the staff report at the time stated, and I quote, it said, without the variance, the limited lot depth makes the subject properties virtually undevelopable, which they are. So we kind of took the decision of the board and the recommendation of the staff, and we went forward with it. And we noted originally, and I don't have an overhead projector I can show you, but on the block that we're in, I don't know if you can see this, I have copies. 8 out of the 12 structures on the block have rear setbacks, not only less than 20 feet, but but less than 10 feet. And we're asking to go from 20 feet to 10 feet. Almost every structure on the block is less than 10 feet a rear setback. After we were approved of the rear setback in 2021, we've gone forward and there's a lot of problems with this lot because there's no water, there's no stormwater runoff, there's no fresh water. We had to put in a sewer, stuff like that. So the first thing we do is we had the survey done of the lots. And then we hired a civil engineer and we actually submitted a specific development plan showing the lots, showing where we wanted to put the duplexes, and showing the off-street parking. And so this took about 8 months, and it was very expensive, but we did this again on reliance that we got the rear setback allowed. And so and this was approved by the ZBA then. And then after we got approval on the specific site plan, then we hired an architect, and we did all of our drawings so we could get the construction permit. Just all this takes a long time. And when we did our design, we had to go in front of the Historic Preservation Commission, and we did a lot of work with them and got it approved there too. So again, in reliance on having the setback variance that was allowed originally, what we were working under, we got the permission from the Historic Preservation Commission. I lost my place. We tried to be good stewards of the property and of this area. When we bought it in 2001, it was totally dilapidated. Everything around there, we renovated 13 structures there that you can, I have this back from 2001. But we did it in accordance with the historic preservation standards. And it was a lot of work. And it's increased the value of the properties around there a lot. When we bought the property, we bought it from the city for $6,100. And last year, it was assessed at $383,000. And we've been able to do nothing more with that property because of the shallowness of it, except we are paying a lot more in property taxes, and we've had a lot more expenses trying to develop this and trying to make it a good area. So we've had, I think, a 60-fold increase in our property taxes, and the same value has gone up on the 13 structures that we've renovated around here. So it's been a great benefit, at least from the tax base, I guess, and for the neighborhood. It's just made it a lot better. So we were surprised, and my understanding was that the staff always interpreted the ordinance and the variances to development standards, not to sunset, whereas use standards do sunset. So I wasn't aware that this had lapsed, but we've been trying to work as diligently as we could based on the approval that we got before to develop this. And so that's kind of where we're at.
Thank you, Mr. Isaacson. Any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Condon?
Good morning, Mr. Isaacson.
Good morning.
I do remember now when you came before us, the stormwater issue, how has that been addressed?
It's a problem. It's what happens is we don't have any stormwater in it. We're kind of in a basin there.
Right.
So we have two duplexes just to the west of this that sunk all the way to the ground because of the stormwater, and the piers just fell all the way to the ground. So it cost us about $100,000 that wasn't insured and nobody else paid for because of there's problems on here. That's why we had to go to the civil engineer to get all the drainage worked out before we could develop the rest of this lot. So it's still a big problem there.
You're working with the city because I'm very familiar with that area, right? And so I know when it rains there, it's a problem.
Right.
And so of course it's a natural fear that we all have that we want to make sure that whatever is developed there addresses these issues so it doesn't compound one on top of the other. If you know what I'm talking about, you're an experienced developer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so is the city going to work with you to address it, or are you on the hook for trying to figure it out on your own?
Well, I mean, the civil engineer had to address it and had to make sure they had sufficient runoff and for these plans, and we're still working with the city. We We still believe there's a leak in one of the mains for the city, and they were actually out there yesterday, and they could see the water pooling up in on 31st Street. And they did some tests to see whether there was, I guess, chlorine in the water and stuff like that. And nothing came out definitive. Whitaker did a test and stuff. So we think that there's still a leak from the city. It's not from, you know, from anything past the water meters. So it's city, but we're dealing with it the best we can. But it's been a mess.
And you have all your approvals from the Historic Review Board and
everything.
Such.
We've been approved by the HPC. We've been approved for the specific site plan. Okay. We're ready to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for petitioner?
I can add, I actually lived in one of Mr. Isaacson's duplexes here on Anderson Lane several years ago. I was in one of the ones that the floor began sloping downward because of the storm management issues. So, you know, that would be my only concern. But as far as what he said, I think that was my first meeting was February of 2021. Spoke at the time that it is, you know, very consistent. Everything on that lane is shallow. I think he had the site plan last time around and it all fit from my memory of it. It seemed like it fit pretty well with what was already in there.
And the reason you didn't get your building permit before was because you had to address all these problems.
Yeah, we've just been, I mean, everything, like, it just took a long time. We've been working on it, but just going through the HPC was almost a year's process, and then getting the site plan approved took a long time.
Any other questions for petitioner? All right, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you all very much.
Any members of the public like to speak? Sir, you come forward first.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So I've owned the house at 515 East Anderson almost.
Oh, yes. Excuse me. Introduce yourself, please, and sign in.
My apologies. Brian McGregor, and yes, I signed in.
Okay.
So I lived there on this block for about 20 years now, since 2005. And several points have been brought up already that I fully agree with. The flooding issue is major, major, major issue. This is a large green space that currently does absorb water. I kind of feel like before this can be approved, there's a couple of things that need to happen. One, that flooding needs to be a solid plan, has to be given so all the neighbors are aware of that and what's happening. The city should know. That should be definitely seen beforehand. Also, this, as you see on the map, for how much is going to be covered here, this lane is basically a dirt path. Whenever the trucks come through just for taking out the garbage, there's another pothole that forms immediately. I've gone to Home Depot myself personally, bought several bags of gravel and filled in those potholes because I've called in the city and they'll take about maybe a year to come out and do it. So I also think majorly before even any of this stuff, the lane should be paved, period. Just. Period. The lane should be paved. You have several properties that the owner here has facing the lane. So that's mail truck, right? You have UPS, everybody coming through doing that. You have another facing the lane. These are going to be three more properties that are facing the lane. So basically that's a street and it's a dirt road. You're now asking, you're currently it's a parking lot. For the owner, for like 13 properties on East 31st Street and the four properties, let's see here, of 517, 515, 513, and 511. Those face the lane. They do not have off-street parking whatsoever. So currently all of them park in this space that they're planning on building on. We have not seen any direction as to where they're going to park. And you can't park on Price Street. You can't park. Everybody already has one space in front of their houses. So this also needs to be just, I think, shown before any of this goes forward. And yep, spoke about the flooding issues. I'm also here for Bill Cooper, goes by Tim, and Hans Stuper as well. They're both my neighbors flanking on both sides. They couldn't be here today. One from is out of town and they agree with my assessment on this as well. So. Please take that into consideration especially paving the lane, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGregor. Sir, would you like to speak? In the back?
Good morning. My name is Rhonda Arnson. I'm the property owner at 520 East 31st Street. I purchased that property from Mr. Isaacson in September of 2021, unaware of these particular development plans. As neighbors, we have discussed that we do oppose this particular action. Primarily, the 500 blocks of Anderson Street, Anderson Lane, East 31st Street consist primarily of duplexes and small multifamily properties, most built during the Victorian era without consideration of the modern needs of utilities, waste management, automobile traffic, or parking. This area is already heavily saturated with fully occupied rental units and some owner-occupied units, most with multiple tenants with multiple vehicles. There is no parking, as we just heard, on Anderson, Price, or Broad Street to assume the overflow of the vehicles created by the loss of parking provided by the petitioner for the current properties or for those whose current properties or for those who simply use the vacant parcel for parking. The burden of the additional residence and parking needs will be absorbed by the 500 block of East 31st Street, where current street parking is barely meeting the current needs, creating often issues of safe passage with the street being able to go both ways, creating issues for pedestrians because there are no sidewalks in the area. It gets to be a little bit complicated. It does appear that there's a plan for some parking in that area, but it certainly doesn't accommodate the current needs, and there certainly isn't sufficient parking that is available for those people to go. So the plan doesn't take into consideration for displacement of those existing people parking in that. The lack of street parking will greatly impact our property values, our ability to rent, and also potentially create an unsafe environment for existing residents. This is really more of an alley. It's not a street. Like I've gone through, like there's no, like how, which way is it going to run, east or west? Can't be two ways because there's not room, right? So what are some of those considerations? The flooding, again, if you've got duplexes, that are, two stories, you've got, you're building four units, not two. You're looking at a minimum of, four to up to 16 people, right? Each one of those could have a car, where it's a really concentrated small area. So we simply don't have room, for that. And some of those things need to be addressed before this would, consideration for moving forward. And we appreciate you hearing that today. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, are you going to speak?
Hello, my name is Andrew Sutphin. I live at 524 East 31st Street. I bought the property from Mr. Isaacson as well about 2 years ago. The first thing I'd like to reiterate, and I'll keep it short because it's mostly the same things that they both spoke on, but I can attest that there is a huge problem with parking there already, if that makes any difference. There's a church on that block. I'm not sure if you're aware. Every Sunday, they could fill up that whole street alone, and they do. And that's great, but that means everyone else is displaced to the back of the house or anywhere else they can find. With 10 to 15 more people, at least, I can't even imagine what parking will look like. It would be anarchy. But apart from that, the flooding is a huge issue. My house turns into a lake about, a couple times a month. It's dangerous. people park on the adjacent lot in front of their home to get off the street parking, again, because there's no parking, which compounds the flooding of the ground. The other point I would like to make is that when I was bought this property, I was told, and I, if I had more time and maybe a continuance, I could find it in writing, but I was told that there would be parking behind my house. And that was one really great, you know, point to buy it. And I know that several other people were told the same, including Anthony Scarpulo, who is my next door neighbor, couldn't make it today, but he's been parking behind his house the whole time. And this gentleman had plans to build this property before he sold us the house and in no way disclosed that to anyone. So now I'm going to have a duplex behind my home that's 5 feet away from it that blocks, you know, sunlight. You know, it's going to be quite different than the property he sold me. So, you know, if I could, I'm sure I could go on and on to why I think this is a bad idea. But unfortunately, I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for this. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Isaacson, would you like to address public comment?
There are three total people online who would like to speak.
I'm sorry. Just give us a minute. If you're online, if you will,
I will just unmute Lauren Dillon right now. And there's Robin Allison and Barbara Dillon.
Okay. Lauren, would you like to speak? If you will, unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. My name's Lauren Dillon. I live at 531 East Anderson Street in a single family historic home. And we will definitely be affected directly as we rely on the off-street parking on Anderson Lane, particularly when Anderson Street requires no parking for street sweeping, as well as increased difficulty parking due to the increased Airbnb and Vrbo rentals in the area. Also, I totally concur with my neighbors about the water drainage issue. The new residents, so they're proposing that the new residents and the duplex will all have off-street parking. But again, the parking that we use on a regular basis in a very small lane where we have to, you know, park very close and strategically because of the big trucks that go through the garbage delivery, utility trucks that go through. So there's really very limited and small parking when we have to park in those areas as it is. So taking that away would be dangerous. It's as well as having to park a long way away as single females in the area. So we strongly request that the variance is denied.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you tell me who's next?
Robin Allison.
Robin, are you there?
Hi. Yes, hi there. I'm a homeowner on 521 East Anderson Street. And we use that parking. Our home has a couple parking spots, but this decreased setback would impact our home and our parking. It's already difficult to just pull out of my parking spot because the other cars are so close behind. So I just really can't see where the people who are parking there now would be parking without those spots. Also, you know, just echoing what other neighbors said about the flooding, the road with the potholes really impacts our cars. And I do appreciate those neighbors who have filled in the potholes themselves because it was very, very needed. And I have heard that there could be sewer running under there, which could impact neighboring homes as well. So I would also be against the proposed changes.
Thank you very much. And we have one more.
Yeah, Barbara DeLong.
Ms. Barbara, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, so I'm also a co-homeowner of 531 East Anderson. Kind of like stated earlier, my house was built in the 1900s, and I was not granted any off-street parking to begin with. So for those of us who aren't in the newer or renovated duplexes, who don't have the parking spots directly behind them to begin with, we don't have it anywhere if you do build these lots. There are a lot of duplexes who have their own kind of gravel parking lots, and that's great, but I cannot park on them because it belongs to them. As well as his other duplexes, it has probably the most parking that the lane has. We cannot park on them either because it belongs to them and they were granted those parking spaces. So if these duplexes are made and that parking is also granted to the duplexes, the older homes that don't have any off-street parking to begin with will be out of parking altogether. So unless some of those parking spaces are also going to be granted for use to the people who don't have any, we have nowhere to go. And also the flooding is a very, very big problem. Sometimes it comes up to my porch. My house is definitely in the sunken area because it is one of the older homes, and I couldn't even park in the probably 6 foot between my fence and the gravel because it's flooded and my car tire tracks won't let me get out. So I also oppose this, or we just need to figure out a way to grant and share the parking that the duplexes have, because there is plenty of space for us to also park there if we're allowed to. Thank you.
Thank you. Before Mr. Isaacson comes up, I've got a question for staff. And I know you've covered at least some of this. Without this variance, what can he build by right there without any variance at all?
He would be able to build duplexes even. The thing is, the building envelope that would be available to him, the way that I calculated, is going to look something like 20 by 100. And so I just did like a quick Google search to look at home plans. 20 by 100 came up, but they're typically long. And so I spoke with a friend who's an architect, and he explained you just reconfigure. So in essence, if you do a 20 by 100 foot home, which is totally possible here, without looking at site specific plans, conceptually 2000 square feet is a significant home up to two stories, I believe.
But he could build that by right without any variance and regardless of anything else. The other thing is, he's not seeking a parking variance, so is there no parking requirement?
Okay. He is required one space per dwelling unit, which means on each of those three parcels, if he's got two units, he needs two spaces per unit. So at best, this is going to be six spaces for the units that would be created.
And those are included in the plans?
Again, plans were not submitted as a part of this particular petition. There is a similar reference, John, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a similar reference to building plans that are submitted. The building plans would expire also after a certain time, which I believe is a year. And so just like this variance, he would have to go back through the site-specific plan review process. And during that process, that's when county engineering, stormwater utilities, and all the relevant departments would then have to say he meets all of our current codes. So the scope of this is just generally to talk about the use in particular. And at this point, he would be required to conform to the building envelope that is left after a 5-foot front setback, 3 feet on either side, and then 20 feet in the back, which upon cursory review leaves him 20 feet of depth, which is awkward, but buildable.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Agnesson, would you like to respond to public comment?
If I could, please. I guess the first point was that, as the board brought up, is that if we built this as of right, it still wouldn't address any of the problems that they're talking about parking. We'd still have the same issues, or they would have the same issues if we built it as a right. You know, what we've done for the last 20 years is that we've allowed this lot to be used, I guess, by anybody, and never charged anybody for parking. But it's not our obligation to provide off-street parking to these people who buy their houses where they don't have off-street parking, and it's permitted. I can promise you, I don't think I've ever sold a piece of property and promised somebody that something that we didn't do. I mean, I can't believe that I would have told somebody that they could park on this lot that they didn't own, especially since we'd already submitted plans to develop here. So I don't think that's true. I don't think I would ever do that. And on the site development plan where we went through stormwater, I mean, our intention is to make the flooding better by this development, not to make it worse, because we couldn't build and have the same situation there. So we've gone through stormwater. We've gone through all the different departments in order to get the site plan approved by the engineer. And we have parking for each of the new structures being proposed. Plus, we added four additional parking spaces for the existing duplexes to our west that are not even part of this. So we're trying to be, you know, at least compliant and more so with the parking requirements. And so that's, I mean, and I agree that the flooding is a problem. And we may have to pave the lane, and we'll talk with traffic engineering, and if they'll help us on that cost, we would, I think that'd be a good solution. I'm not opposed to that, but that's, I guess, when we get into the building permit phase, they'll address whether or not we need to do that.
So you have no intention at this point of seeking any parking variance for these subject parcels?
No, no. Our plan has the compliant parking already in there. Plus,
if I may. John Anagos from the city. The submitted site plan that is pending, it's under review, shows 9 parking spaces for 3 duplexes.
I thought this was already been approved.
I can double check.
I think it has been. Yeah, but I think it's been approved.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Addison?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question? Thank you.
All right, we're going to enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything?
I think I'm responsive.
No, ma'am. You've already had a chance to provide public comment.
Is it a possibility to do a continuance?
If you make a motion for that and it passes, I suppose so.
Yeah, because
you probably have to have a reason for it when you make your motion.
You know, just listening at the flooding and the building sinking, you know, how that would be addressed?
Well, I think it's a big issue. I think that the petitioner and all the members of the public have brought it up. But I think here today, we're just here to consider whether or not to grant the rear yard setback. So if that's a reason to seek continuance, as long as it's tied into whether or not he should receive the variance for the rear yard setback, it'd have to be tied into that. But I mean, if you have a motion to make, we would certainly make a motion and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. I'm making a motion for it to be continued because of all the complications that seem to be there, you know, with the flooding as well as the parking and everything else. Is that a good motion?
Okay. Well, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to continue this petition until the next, am I correct? The next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that there can be some more,
what would we be requesting to between now and the next meeting? I guess, you know, what would the continuance be pending for?
Right.
I would assume we'd have to, you know, request that they, you know, between now and the next meeting, they, you know, do X, Y, Z or, you know, bring forward something. What would your thoughts on that be?
Because my concern is with the, you know, building sinking, you know, to have a way to show where the buildings will not be sinking, parking.
Or a plan. Well,
a better, yeah.
The parking, I don't think really pertains. And his plans show that he's got parking places.
Parking
he doesn't
spaces.
Intend to seek a variance for that.
Okay.
So he meets the requirement.
Can you bring forward that plan since it's not here in front of us? Pass it around maybe, if that's in order.
Because you know, flooding is an issue here. And so that, anyway.
My thoughts are conflicted. First and foremost, completely out of the purview of our board, but I'll add my voice to the folks calling for the paving of this lot. This is a heavily developed residential lane. It's not, you know, a standard, you know, garbage pickup only. Quite a lot of residential units facing it. You know, obviously we have no power to request it, but you know, I don't know if that's something the board can kind of submit to traffic engineering that they take a look at this. I almost think that was something that was brought up in 2021 when this first came, was, you know, submitting to them that, you know, it's a heavily used lot, not even just by the residences. I remember living there. People would blow through it in the middle of the night, you know, just back and forth, just from one street to the other, not even people to live there. So it is constantly, you know, degrading. I think, paving it would also help with stormwater management, having them come through. So that's, you know, 100% accurate what they're saying there. You know, on one hand, you know, I'm sympathetic certainly to the fact that this very board granted this request in 2021, and it sounds like from what Mr. Isaacson read, it was based on staff recommendation of approval. Is that correct at the time? So then, you know, not too much has changed with, you know, the basic parameters of the site. You know, he invested quite a lot in moving forward with this project based on our approval at the time, based on staff approval. So I'm certainly sympathetic there. On the other hand, I don't remember much public comment last time around, and it seems like a fair number of the commenters themselves are people who have moved in themselves since that time. So there is, you know, new residents there, and in fact, several of them, it seems like, moved into lots that Mr. Isaacson himself sold during that time period. So those are my conflicting thoughts on the matter. But I don't know what y'all think, but.
Thank you, Mr. Plunk. Mrs. Jones, so your motion would be to continue, because we have a motion on the table.
That's right.
To the next meeting, and what do you want to see happen between now and then?
At least more investigation or improvement.
Maybe a more articulated plan for the drainage.
Yes.
Provisions. All right. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to continue this petition until the next meeting, where she would like for us to hear a more articulated plan for the water, stormwater, to be addressed. Is there a second to that motion?
Can I?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion, Mr. Plunk?
Can I ask if, the petitioner would be in favor, and if staff thinks that's realistic, that we could get something within a month, you know, to answer some of these outline questions. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, yes, we did. We got to discuss the motion before we vote on it. Amend it, or
right.
Make a motion to amend it.
To staff and petitioner, first petitioner, I mean, would you be in support of such a continuance? Do you think that there would be anything, you know, within a month that you could bring forward? You know, what are your thoughts on it first?
I will be in favor. I mean, we've addressed the flooding issue with the civil engineer or stormwater, and we're certainly not going to build unless the situation is fixed, which is what we're trying to do. And I don't think that the flooding is something that is relevant to the rear setback request that we asked originally in the rear monitor form. But, you know, you guys have to make it's best of the community, I understand, and there's opposition to it. Yeah, I don't think I should be required to provide a partner to other people's property. But, you know, it's going to provide our own property, and what we can build as a right doesn't change any of their concerns if we're able to build something private.
And then to staff, I mean, is there anything else we could reasonably expect to get back? Sorry, that would answer any of these, you know, additional questions about stormwater management, or, you know, find out whether these building plans have been approved. It seemed like there was some confusion regarding that.
We do have a review process where we look beforehand at proposed developments. I think the petitioner is correct in that within the purview of this board is he's seeking a specific request with regard to a setback variance. He has the ability at this point to build something. He's asking for something related specific to that. I do think it would be prudent to look further down the road, but with full acknowledgement that this board probably would not be the one to condition the development in such a way as to alleviate some of the issues. However, I do think that consulting with actually an attorney to find out if you can refer to another board to address the specific issues would be worthwhile, if that makes sense.
I'd have to agree with Steph. You know, whether or not he gets this variance, it does not change the fact that he can build on the lot. He's not seeking a parking variance. You know, in my personal feelings is that, you know, it is kind of unfair to continue his petition, to provide information that we really don't need to consider, even though it is a very important issue and it needs to be considered by someone. I also don't think that he's going to spend the money to build these duplexes knowing that they're going to sink into the ground. I mean, that would be a terrible investment to start with.
Sorry, just as a point of clarification, in reviewing Board of Assessor data, the applicant purchased the property in 2001. Just as a point of clarification regarding reliance, the potential detrimental reliance. He acquired the property in 2001. Permit was requested in 2021. Right. So quite a bit of time between acquisition and action.
So there's a motion on the table. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
Go ahead and act on this.
One way or the other.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree.
All right. So you
and just to make clear, Mr. Isaacson, I was not trying to say for you to provide parking for anyone else.
Right.
Okay. He's saying that's what's going on now. Is okay. That, you know. So are you withdrawing your motion?
I can withdraw it.
Yeah. All right. Mrs. Jones has withdrawn her motion. We've heard from Mr. Plunk. Mr. Condon, do you have any comments?
No, thank you, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No comment.
Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nothing else.
I have one question.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Plunk.
You were saying that whatever action we take on this, we can also refer, you know, to another board to take a look at this as well. Is that what you added there?
I would agree with Ted. I think that would be advisable. If there are extenuating circumstances here where this needs to be considered and perhaps more stringent requirements need to be applied to this, I think the MPC could review that under its jurisdictional or site plans.
I mean, those are going to be reviewed anyway by the county, won't they?
They are. Perhaps some sort of an advisory note from this board with specific regard to the comments that were received from the public in your review, and we can refer that over to the MPC for a closer site plan inspection.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
Can I make have a little board discussion for a moment?
Sure.
I think as we're discussing this here, the reality is that Mr. Isaacson can and will build something on that parcel. The only thing that we're really addressing here is the configuration of it, the shape of it, if you will. You know, how deep into the lot can he go? It does seem that he's addressing parking, even though it's not his obligation to do so, by adding additional spaces on this parcel for people living in the other duplex. And there's something that seems unfair about approving something for a guy and then having engineering and architects, and I know this from my own experience, these guys, they drag things out in perpetuity sometimes. And it does seem somewhat unfair to now say to a guy that we approved it last year, but this year, after you've spent all this time and energy and money and resources and gone, you know, to the good approvals from other boards, that we should, you know, prevent him from moving forward with his project. That's my two cents.
I'd like to add, I totally agree. Any other comments before we entertain a motion? Would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve with the added caveat of an advisory note to the appropriate boards that would be that can address the issues that were stated by the public today.
Okay. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request for a variance with the caveat that there would be a note attached that the appropriate boards be informed of the public comment today and review it as necessary. Is there a second?
I'll second if I can amend and just add on to take a special look with traffic and engineering as far as paving. That I would like to add a specific, you know, please take a look at this to that same motion if that's amendment is amenable to you.
Mr. Plunk has made a second to Mr. Turner's motion, and he has made a motion to amend Mr. Turner's motion to include that the appropriate authorities be asked to look into paving the lane. Is there a second to the amendment to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. So we have a motion before us that to approve the request for variance with the caveat that there is a note added to review the public comment and concerns to the appropriate boards when it's time for that to come up, and to a note to the appropriate boards to look at paving the lane by the city.
Sounds right.
Okay. Is there so I think that's all. So there's a motion before us. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote on the amended motion?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. The motion passes and the variance is approved along with the requirement for the notes. There are no other items on the agenda, so I'll declare this meeting adjourned.